Introducing Family Freedom from T-Mobile. We'll pay off four phones up to $3,200 and give you four free phones, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/Family Freedom. Up to $800 per line via virtual prepaid card. Typically takes 15 days. Free phone via 24 monthly bill credits with finance agreement. Example, Apple iPhone 16, 128 gigs, $829.99. Eligible trade-in, example, iPhone 11 Pro. For well-qualified, credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us.
This is Aces on the Air.
They got the bucket. A Turnbull came from the weak side and recycled the shot. A game-saving play by Turnbull.
The official podcast for Evansville Athletics.
Ground ball to the right side. McGinnis Fields. He throws the first. They've done it! For the first time in program history, Evansville has won a regional. The Purple Aces are off to the Sweet 16.
Aces on the Air is brought to you by Taroni's Pizzeria and Brewery. Claim a $3 off voucher at any 2025-2026 UE athletic event on campus.
The turn on to first. Two! A double play! And it's ball game! Evansville fans have won in 18 long years! For the first time since 2006, the Aces are Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Champions!
Every episode of Aces on the Air is available on Spotify, Apple, and online at GoPurpleAces.com.
Elevates on a three. It's an air ball. Wow. And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
Now, here's the voice of the Aces, Jevin Redmond.
From the Purple Aces Sports Network, this is Aces on the Air, brought to you by Troney's and powered by Learfield. I'm Jevin Redman. This week, it's episode 46, and we get a chance to talk with Robbie Tarver, the head coach, University of Evansville men's soccer, as Robbie's in his third full season as head coach, and the Aces just clinched a share of the Missouri Valley Conference regular season title for the first time since 1991. They are the number one seed in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, and UE plays on Wednesday this week at home in the semifinals of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament at 6 o'clock here on campus. They'll take on Illinois Chicago. Robbie, thanks for joining us this week. Aces on the Air. First off, congratulations. Of course, last year had that run the conference tournament as a five seed, making the NCAA tournament. This year, a bit of a new group. You guys put it together middle to second half of the season. You're in that one seed. Congratulations. And just how does it feel to have the season you guys did as you now prepare for the conference tournament?
Yeah, I think, building off of last season and the run in the tournament, we wanted to have a better regular season and be a little bit more consistent. And so it's nice that that culminated in a regular season conference championship. Obviously, we have a few too many ties than we would have hoped before the season. But at the same time, I think integrating a new group and building off last season, I think we accomplished those goals. And, we still have, one big one that's coming up right this weekend.
You mentioned integrating a new group, and you guys started 0-2-3 through your first five matches. Then it was after the Lindenwood match, you tied Xavier, who's a good team, and you go 6-2-5 the rest of the way. So if you could pinpoint one or two things, what do you feel like was kind of the turning point for your season with this group?
Yeah, I think we knew that we were playing pretty well. We just weren't getting wins. And so it was kind of stick to the process that we were doing. I think every season that we play Bellarmine in the opener, it's a tough game. And they've had a really good season. They won the A-Sun this year. And then game two was away at Mercer. And then game three was away at UNC. And I think those three games, we played well in all those games. We just didn't win, right? And so I think it was everybody kind of knew that we would get it going on the team. There was still a lot of confidence, and I think as long as you have the belief as a team that you're going to get better, I think it's what's going to happen. And so I think it's really a credit to the guys that they just kept plugging along and turned the tide.
It was that match October 31st against Northern Illinois that you guys pulled out a 1-0 victory, and again, first time you clinched a share since 1991. Just having that moment at home in front of your fans with this group, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, it was a special win. I think to do it at home was really important. Last year, obviously, all the big wins were on the road, and so to do it at home, I think, was very cool. There was a lot of supporters or old players and coaches from Evansville that were there, like Coach Schmaltz and Coach Veith and Coach Ray. And so I think doing that where they could see it was pretty cool. And I don't think I even realized it was since 1991 that a regular season championship had happened. So I think obviously that's a pretty long time. So to be able to do that at home was a cool feeling for sure.
I remember talking to you in your first season here whenever you were the head coach and just kind of get your mindset about the program you wanted to run. And it's hard to believe now you're about to wrap up your third full season already. But as you kind of reflect on the last 3 years, what are you most proud of, you know, outside of the wins and making the NCAA tournament, getting the one seed? What are you most proud of as far as what you've established, you and your staff here, with the culture and program?
Yeah, I think we just have a bunch of good guys on the team. So I think it's really fun to be around them every day. I think they enjoy being around each other. I think for the most part, you know, we do pretty well in the classroom and in the community. I think it's good when we're out and, you know, the feedback is, hey, these guys are getting along really well. They're respectful. You know, they seem like good guys. And I think that ultimately is going to go farther than whatever the wins and losses are. We don't need a championship to validate the team. But at the same time, you know, you get judged on wins and losses. And this team really has a desire to win and defend the championship. And I think it also felt, we also felt maybe like a little overlooked, you know, after last season and not being in the top three in the coach's poll or whatever. And I mean, I think it was fair because we did lose 30 out of our 35 goals, but I think this team coming back had a chip on their shoulder, just like, hey, we're pretty good too, even though we lost those guys. And, so I think I'm proud about how we are as a group, just good guys. And I think the other thing is how competitive we are. If you put a ball in a patch of grass, we're ready to go and play. And yeah. And I like that about us.
One of the things we talked about, you know, a couple years ago was, you know, you only move up a seat in terms of assistant coach to head coach, but that is a big move. And you were here under Marshall Ray for a few seasons as assistant coach. What are you most proud of as far as you yourself being a leader? How do you feel like you've kind of grown and progressed as a head coach, you know, leading a program?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's hard to maybe take a step back and reflect on that. You know, I think you realize how much you talk as a head coach. You're always kind of trying to form a narrative and interact with the players. And I think probably something I'm proud of is just being a little more consistent in terms of communication with the players, maybe handling disciplinary situations. I think that was a big adjustment because as the assistant coach, you're typically the older brother, good friend, get to be the good cop, where Marshall had to be the bad cop. And kind of that role reversal was maybe a little bit tough for me, especially with some of the guys that had only known me as an assistant coach. And so I think that naturally kind of progresses. And I'm pretty emotional too, but I think being a little more even keeled on the sideline and realizing like how your emotion transmits to the team was probably an important step in the process. And I mean, I still need to get better about it, but you know, I think I've improved on that as well.
And you've surrounded yourself with a good coaching staff as well. And we'll get to all the awards you guys got from Missouri Valley Conference, one of which Missouri Valley Conference Coaching Staff of the Year. And Matt Melzer has been with you now for three seasons. He came here from Transylvania University. Just how big has he been in this last couple of years, the growth with the program as an assistant coach?
Yeah, I think you know, the head coach I played for and then coached for, he's always like, you're only as good as your assistants. And I think that that's true. You know, I think that first year we were together was kind of baptism by fire. Everybody was kind of figuring out new roles. And I think in the third season, we just know how to operate with each other. You know, I think, you know, I talked about the team being good guys. Matt's a good guy. Mm-hmm. So it really helps that, you know, you want to spend time around him and you want to spend time around Ori. And so I think kind of like our operations are a little bit more seamless. We kind of know what we want to accomplish out of the training sessions. There's a lot more trust in knowing that if I'm not actively involved in something, it's going to get done and done effectively. And so, you know, I think Matt's proved that over the last couple of years. And then Ori's obviously done really well to come in as a young coach and train Michael as our keeper, and not just Michael, but also Hugo, Connor, and Cole. And we have a really good goalkeeping room. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think the other thing is we're a pretty young staff. And so having some guys in the community like William Yambi, who played professionally and now coaches locally, but is involved with our team when he can be, just adding some experience. And then Luke Yeager, who, you know, works full time in banking, but he just has this passion for being around young people and helping them develop and grow. And I think he offers a different perspective for these college guys that maybe me, Matt, and Ori don't have as, you know, pretty young guys. And I think that's been really invaluable, not with just with the progression of the team, but also just the individuals on the team.
I like to ask head coaches this question just in terms of their staff. I mean, how much responsibility do you give your other coaches? Obviously, the wins and losses fall under your name. You make the final decisions, but how much trust do you give to your staff, and how do you kind of break that up?
Yeah, sometimes when I'm on the bus, we're riding to an away game, I feel like I'm not doing anything because they're kind of handling all the logistics and the nuts and bolts of getting there. What's the hotel going to be? I don't even know where we're traveling to. I just know that we're going to arrive and it's going to be done. And so I think, you know, the ability to fully put that trust in their hands for little things that I don't have to worry about has been really nice, and kind of allows me to maybe focus on big picture things. And, you know, obviously Matt does a lot of the training sessions too, and Ori fully runs the goalkeepers kind of autonomously because I don't know too much about goalkeeping. It's a unique thing in soccer where there's like this position that is pretty specific and unique. So I think that, you know, they've both hit the ground running and done really well with whatever responsibilities, and have earned more over the last 2 years for sure.
This roster has six seniors on it, but I was going through a lot of the postseason awards, and there's a lot of good young talent. So that has to be encouraging and make you excited for the future. Hey, able to accomplish the one seed with a lot of young guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we lost a big important class from last year. I think, you know, those guys committed to Evansville when we had zero wins a long time ago. And so to see them develop and grow over the 4 years and then leave this place with the championship was really special. But I think also it allowed new opportunities for people. We've had guys that, you know, haven't played too much over their time at Evansville step up. And, you know, Nate Roberts is a 4-year player here, or really 3 years. He didn't play as a freshman, and he scores that goal to win the championship. And I think it's a testament to him sticking it out here and, you know, maybe having a couple tough seasons where he wasn't playing as much as he wanted to. You know, but at the same time, we do have like 4 or 5 freshmen that are contributing significantly to the program. And, you know, I think if you're good enough, you're old enough, we're not scared to play young guys. And we have 4 out of the last 6 freshmen of the year in the conference. And so, you know, I think that might be one of our niches, I guess, is as this transfer portal comes up and people are more inclined to take older guys, maybe we'll just take younger guys and roll with them. And it's worked out so far.
One of those freshmen, Andres Escudero, freshman of the year, leads your team in goals with 9 goals this season. What has impressed you most about him and his play coming as a youngster and really being one of the leaders?
Yeah, I think we expected him to kind of play a lot, but maybe not start every game. And he's really grown as the year's gone on. You know, he got an opportunity when Tancredi went down with an injury and scored a lot of goals in that little period. And so it was like, man, we just need to keep this guy on the field because he just runs a lot. His effort's always there. His intensity's always there. He's really always making runs on the back shoulder of the defenders, and so he just puts himself in spots to score goals. And obviously, goals win games. And you know, so it's been really crucial to have those 9 goals that he scored this year.
On the flip side, your sophomore goalkeeper, Michael Meraz, goalkeeper of the year, Missouri Valley Conference. You guys only allowed 17 goals throughout the season, which was the third fewest in Missouri Valley Conference. Obviously, there's more to it than just the goalkeeper in terms of preventing goals. But his development, what stood out about him?
Yeah, I think he's really grown as a leader this year. You know, I think we knew how good he was after his freshman year. There's not I don't think we'd take another keeper in the country. I mean, we just have total faith in him back there, and I think he brings so much confidence to our group because we know that in a big moment he steps up. And he's a pretty complete keeper because he's good with his feet too, and he's able to really release a long ball, and that kind of opens up the field of play for us. But I think he's grown as a leader. You know, he was voted captain as a sophomore, which is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just how he approaches the game and who he is as a person. I think he's still growing, you know, with his voice. But to have a guy back there that everybody on the team fully trusts, it changes the dynamic of your team, and we're lucky to have that.
We'll continue talking about the defensive side of it, but Martin Wurschmidt, another sophomore, he was defensive player of the year, Missouri Valley Conference as well, and just kind of take us through what he did well this season.
Yeah, I think him and Martin and Nacho Garcia, that pairing back there, they're just so steady. I think it's really crucial at the back to have guys that don't make mistakes, and neither of those guys really do. You know, Nacho's super calm, under pressure, on the ball, always organizing, and then I think Martin just does everything well. He's good in the air. He's fast. He's good in the tackle. He can make really nice passes, and he's just consistent. You know, and those two guys being even keel in combination with Michael at the back, I think, you know, you wouldn't ask for a better spine of your team than those three guys. And they've, I think, two of them have played every single minute this year, and one of them's played every minute but six. And I think that shows how important they are to our group.
Talking about those three guys, they were also first-team All-Conference, so congratulations to them. That's Meraz, Wurschmidt, and Escudero. Let's start to talk about the match on Wednesday with UIC, and you played them back on October 18th. Good match, tied 2-2. Got a late goal to get that draw. So just kind of a preview of UIC coming up on Wednesday, again, 6 o'clock start. What are some keys against the Flames?
Yeah, I mean, they are a very technical team. I think both teams like to play a similar style. Both like to connect passes. I think we have to be really aware that they probably have the best player in the conference. He was voted forward of the year and player of the year, and I think rightfully so. Anytime you score 15 goals, it's pretty special. And so number 10 for them is a special player. He scored a really nice goal against us to go up 2-1, and so we need to be really aware of where he is on the field. But besides that, they have other guys that can hurt you. I think that the way that they play, they're going to get chances to score. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think because they're so open and fluid with their movement, it also gives us opportunities to score. So I think it should be a really fun game to watch. I mean, the game at their place, I can't remember if it was September or October now, but it was a fun game, 2-2 in the pouring rain. As a viewer, probably better on TV since it was raining so hard, was a fun match to watch, and I think Wednesday will be the same.
Last year during your run, again, different position, you guys were the 5 seed a season ago, had to win an extra match. This year you need 2 wins to move the NCAA tournament, but was going back through and you know, each match was a 1-goal match. Had a double overtime win there against Western Michigan, Missouri State 1-0, Bowling Green overtime 3-2. So that's probably expected this time of year to get to postseason soccer. All these teams are very good and competitive. So what's kind of important, remind your team come postseason time, hey, tight matches, we have to accomplish this to get a win.
Yeah, the message all year is like, you're going to have 6 moments in your box to score a goal. You're going to have 6 moments that you have to defend to prevent a goal. And I think that just becomes heightened in postseason play. And, you know, we've shown that we've been a tough team to kill this year with how many ties that we have and playing good opponents as well. And I think that same mentality is what carries over to the postseason. You got to never give in, never back down, always believe that you're going to come out on top. And I think, you know, that's the mentality that the guys have. And and then win your moments when it happens, win your tackle, when it happens, execute on your shot, when it happens, block the shot that they have. And it really comes down to that at the end of the day. And, that's the stuff that we talk a lot about. And I think our guys take pride in as well.
And certainly special, again, having this match here at home on campus. Mentioned 6 o'clock start. You guys have a very good fan base, a lot of supporters. You rattled off some of those names as far as previous coaches. But what would having a big crowd mean to you on Wednesday for this semifinal match?
Yeah, it would be special. I think anytime there's a big crowd, there just creates more energy. And I think, the guys know what they represent when they're playing Evansville and the history of the program. And to kind of have that manifest itself in a big crowd, I think, would be really important for them. And we talked a lot about hosting the tournament to be able to play in front of your fans in these meaningful games. And we want to be playing meaningful soccer in November. And to have that at home is really, I think, extra special, especially when you think about the big matches that were played in Evansville in the 80s and 90s in the NCAA tournament. And obviously, that's the way that we're going to get to the NCAA tournament this year. So to have that at home on Wednesday, with the potential to have it on Saturday, is super important, and hopefully we get a lot of fans to come out and support that.
All right, let's finish up with this. Again, number 1 seed coming up in the tournament. Just as you reflect on this group, just to wrap up, kind of what are you most proud of? And when this season's over, hopefully several weeks down the road, as you kind of reflect, what will really stand out about this group?
Yeah, I think the older guys sticking with it. You know, I think there was a couple of guys here, my first year as a head coach when it wasn't super smooth, and they stuck it out. And I think, you know, reflecting, those guys are like, man, 2 years ago we weren't even in the conference tournament. Then we win one conference tournament, and now we're the one seed. And I think that progression's been really cool to see. And I think the other thing is, you know, it's special when you choose Evansville. We talk a lot about, like, our decisions show who we truly are, mm-hmm. far more than our abilities. And they've chosen Evansville, and they've left this place better than they found it. And I think that's why we're at where we're at right now. And we need to continue to choose Evansville if we're going to keep that going.
Robbie, thanks for your time this week. Aces on the Air. Best luck on Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks, Devin.
That is Robbie Tarver, the head coach for Evansville men's soccer. Again, they take on Illinois Chicago, 6 o'clock on campus Wednesday night. When the Aces win, they will play in the championship on Saturday. I'm Jevin Rebin. Thanks for listening. This has been Aces on the Air, brought to you by Troney's and powered by Learfield.